On BYUSN, Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark wasn't shy when discussing the Big 12 and the College Football Playoff Committee. His comments and our reaction. Would we rather BYU play Deion Sanders in Colorado in the Alamo Bowl or play the likes of Miami or Clemson in the Pop-Tarts Bowl? Bowl projections are on the way.
Voice of the Cougars, Greg Rubel, is going to be with us talking about the 10-win season in year two in a P4 league in men's hoops. First month of the season, we'll get his assessment on how things are going, and we'll preview today's first-round NCAA tournament game for BYU women's volleyball with Brielle Kemmermore. All they do is win.
Right?
Season.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, December 5th. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is still waiting on his picture on a Wheaties box, Dave McKim.
I got a better shot at the Fruit Loops box than the Wheaties box.
With marshmallows or without? Because that's really good.
Toucan Sam or whatever.
Yeah, yes. And did you buy Wheaties and eat Wheaties growing up?
I remember we ate them for a while.
Yeah.
But I haven't had them forever.
And then you realize they're not actually that good. It's just cool because you had an athlete on the cover. Clyde Drexler was on a Wheaties box in Portland. And they said max two at Cub Foods, and we gobbled up all we could. It was exciting.
I learned as a kid that with enough sugar, you can eat just about anything for breakfast, even oatmeal. But, we weren't big Wheaties fans. But speaking of food, and it's breakfast time still, let's talk about Jake Retzlaff. He's got a new NIL deal he announced yesterday, and he did it in a unique way because, you know, everyone's announcing what schools they're going to on signing day and or where they're transferring to. So he does this video. He says, hey, my next move is I'm going to represent Manischewitz, the nation's leading brand of kosher food products, just in time for the holidays.
So nice.
This is it. This is Jake's big deal, and it is a big deal. And if you're on social media today, you've seen people talking about it all over the place. It's a coup for Retzlaff. Congrats.
Dan Walken of USA Today said this is one of the biggest moments, right, in Jewish athlete sports history.
I don't even know what that means.
Dan's Jewish. He would know that context better than we would. Stuart Mandel said my new favorite NIL deal. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's a faith-based NIL deal. I'm trying to think what the equivalent for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints would be for these guys. Deseret Industries inks a deal with
maybe
Chase Roberts or something.
Maybe
I don't know what that'd be.
Some pasta something. I don't know. But good for him. And we're in that world now. One, we're talking about it on Sports Nation. But two,
yeah.
Retzlaff has his first big NIL deal, and it supports who he is, what he believes, his cause, where he's going, and where he's taken BYU football with him. It's never been before.
Right? And I'm hoping the whole team gets some product. Like Dylan Gabriel got some beats by Dre, gave them to the whole team, right?
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's see that video in the locker room. That'd be awesome. Congrats to Jake. That's cool. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
But any of those bowls would be fantastic. I mean, I don't see this as a consolation prize.
You can see that there's a sense of urgency because we know this is the last one.
This is a reward for a fantastic season.
What's Trending is presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Well, the commish, Brett Yormark, made his opinion known on a Zoom press conference call yesterday, which was to talk about the Big 12 title game, but it became the politicking season for just about every commissioner or AD that wants their team in the playoff, as we know. The Big 12 title game previewed, but there was a comment and comments regarding the league stance among its teams in the College Football Playoff Committee rankings.
The committee continues to show time and time again that they are paying attention to logos versus resumes. I've said that before. I want to say it again. And I say logos because they're concentrating on team logos and conference logos. Strength of schedule should matter. And wins against Power Four opponents should matter. 74% of the Big 12 wins were against Power Four opponents this season. Meanwhile, the group of five is 11-80. I want to say that again. 11-80 versus Power Four teams this season. And in no way should a group of five champion be ranked above our champion. And I'm going to say that one more time. In no way should a group of five champion be ranked above our champion.
Okay, Brett Yormark being very clear about his stance. Do you agree with Brett regarding that particular opinion?
Yeah, and he's doing his job. And it's kind of a power move here. Like, we'll see how much power and influence he has because Boise State's sitting at 10 and Arizona State's at 15, and that they still have to win that game to launch that many spots up to replace Boise State and get a first round bye. So there's a lot going on there. BYU has a very interesting perspective in all this, because for so many years they've been on the outside looking in going, why won't anyone take us seriously? We're this, this, and this. So now BYU's watching Boise State going, hey, you know, we should have a first round bye. We're 10-1 or whatever. And we're over here going, yeah, I don't think so. The power leagues should get precedence. And there's some truth to what he said. He threw out the numbers that matter. P4s play more P4s than G5s play P4s. And there should be some weight in that, especially if you win most of them. And right now the committee has shown that maybe there's not that much weight.
Not with strength of schedule.
No, and it's getting dicey, you know, and you got coaches. Lane Kiffin this morning, the coach of Ole Miss, is going after Clemson. Kiffin's not even in the mix, and he's going after Clemson.
They're
going
to be out.
You know, he's arguing for Alabama or Georgia, and so we're starting to see a little more fighting. It's like, hey, wait a sec, 12 was supposed to end the fighting, right?
It wouldn't end if you went to 14 or 16, by the way. It just be just keeps further going, up.
Right? Yeah. We still debate who's the bubble team in the NCAA tournament, who was 69 or 70.
Yeah.
But I like what he's doing, and he has a case, but I have a feeling that it's kind of a Hail Mary toss at this point because of where the Big 12 sits in the rankings. Can they really jump six spots? Will the committee go on Sunday, you know what, we've just reversed our chain of thought, and now the Big 12 gets a quarterfinal?
Suddenly. Yeah. What would have changed? It's not going to happen, but you like to see it. You like to hear it, that it's going to defend his league, of course.
If UNLV beats Boise State Friday night.
Now the Big 12 champ should be the fourth seed in the playoff. A two-loss P4 champ should be ranked higher than the highest-ranked G5 champ with a single loss. Now, Boise State had zero losses. I would say no, Boise State should be the team probably up there. They if they had beaten Oregon, for example, no one would argue that, But Boise State played a single game against P4 competition, a single game. Meanwhile, Arizona State and Iowa State played 10 Power Four. So come on. Group of Five, by the way, he mentioned this, went 11-80 against P4 competition. One of those 80 losses is Boise State at Oregon. But they get a lot of credibility for playing them close. Boise State has street cred from what they've done historically, is kind of what BYU was before, right? In the 80s and 90s and whatnot, of like the little engine that could. And BYU won a natty and got a Heisman as that sort of in that mantra. Now BYU's in the club. But we kind of look up at the Power Two and go, well, wait a minute, I thought we were in the Power Four. It's clearly a Power Two with two others, right? Yeah. Sagarin has the Big 12 as the second highest-ranked conference in the country. So you see the parity, but BYU is being punished in the Big 12 for having parity. Meanwhile, the SEC is applauded for it. It's very odd. The main issue is that the Big 12 champ doesn't have just one loss. There was a team with one loss. We wish it was BYU. This wouldn't be a conversation, wouldn't be an issue. The next issue is that the brands that were expected to be in this position are not. If the preseason top 25, Utah, Oklahoma State, or Kansas State were in this position, I don't think it'd be as big of a deal. Because expectations were just crushed and the team to pick that was picked last is in position to win the league, Arizona State, that changes sort of the expectations and mantra and what you think of that program walking in. Well, you had three wins last year. Why are you suddenly awesome now? Boise State has more street cred than Arizona State does, who's only won 10-plus games, including this year, four times since 96. They just don't have that sort of cred. Iowa State has never won 10 games in a season until Saturday night, which is wild for how good their program's to be perceived, right? So preseason expectations aren't met. Now suddenly we look at that situation. Brett Yormark also mentioned later in his kind of three-minute, I don't know if rant maybe is the right word, of talking about, hey, a two-loss Big 12 champ should be ranked ahead of a three-loss at-large team. Right. If BYU was three-loss at-large team and had the wins that, say, Alabama has, we would argue for BYU in that situation. It's just hard to know, but I do think ultimately in rankings, it should be based on what you have done. What is your strength of schedule? Who have you played? What have you done in said games? All of these metrics, you can look at these things. But clearly the committee doesn't value strength of schedule like we thought. They value star power. They value high offense in this. That's why Miami's six spots ahead of BYU, because they have Cam Warden, the number one offense. Even though BYU is a very similar resume, in fact, it's better, with a top 10 win. Has any top 10 win, like BYU's over SMU, been dismissed more by the committee. I don't understand it. It's frustrating that BYU lost 2 of 3 to give the committee a reason to put them lower. BYU had one loss right now and was in the Big 12 title game hunt. This would be such a different conversation.
Yeah, and the truth is BYU kind of did this to the Big 12. They beat Kansas State. They beat Oklahoma State. They beat Utah, the three dogs you talked about. They're up to number 6. And they got a home game against Kansas and a road game against Arizona State. And they lost both. And so now they're down at 18 or whatever. But they beat Kansas State, so they're not up. You know, they beat the teams that kept them up. And Arizona State was so far out of it that they've just made leaps and bounds in the last few weeks by all of a sudden getting good. I think a few weeks ago, the Big 12's going, sweet, two teams are getting in because if BYU doesn't win the Big 12 championship game, they're still high enough that they're in, and now we got two teams. And now the debate is to get one team and to get a first-round bye, and then they look back at BYU and go, what'd you guys do to us? You had it, and then you lost it.
Yeah. No,
that's a bummer.
It's definitely disappointing, but that brings us to where BYU is going to go bowling.
Yeah, so we figure it's two spots, right? Pop-Tarts Bowl and the Alamo Bowl. We're going to know maybe Saturday, for sure by Sunday afternoon, once everything's official. The most common projection we've seen out there, and you guys talked about it yesterday too, is BYU playing Deion Sanders and Colorado, primetime Alamo Bowl, primetime against primetime, in the Alamo Bowl on the 28th on ABC. Or the other option is Pop-Tarts Bowl, maybe Clemson and Miami, one of those two, that afternoon on ABC in the Sunshine in Florida. So who do you want?
Yeah, first off, I'm just perusing the Alamo Bowl website this morning, and I see that they've actually whittled it down. So in case you missed it, I tweeted it out. It's Iowa State or BYU versus Arizona State or Colorado in the Alamo. They've already trimmed that down. We don't know on Pop-Tarts. We know it's Big 12 ACC.
And Pop-Tarts picks second.
Yeah.
So this is first.
We'll know Saturday. So if Iowa State wins Saturday in the Big 12 title game, it's BYU-Colorado, it would seem, in the Alamo. We can assume as much. And if ASU wins, it's probably Iowa State-Colorado, then BYU to the Pop-Tarts against an ACC team. So of those situations, what do I prefer? I don't actually believe Deion Sanders, that Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter are going to play in the Alamo Bowl. I know, but why would they play in that game? It makes no sense. If they were to play in that game, I think that's the game I would want.
Yeah.
But I don't believe they will. So what I want is Pop-Tarts against an ACC team. BYU's never played Clemson. If Clemson loses the ACC title game against SMU, which is what I think we kind of want, so that BYU beats a power conference champion, that'd be pretty cool. Then BYU-Clemson would play for the first time ever. I think that'd be pretty fun. Kalani versus Dabo. Retzlaff versus Klubnik. That'd be fun. Even if it's Miami, which would be two disgruntled teams outside the playoff, you're bringing back the 88-90 series they played. This would be the rubber match. Obviously, the greatest win in BYU football history is Miami in 90. That'd be fun. Even Syracuse would be intriguing to me. Not a ton of ACC sort of matchups historically. So I'm actually in favor of Pop-Tarts versus ACC because I don't believe that Shedeur and Travis would actually play for Colorado in the Alamo.
Look, I went on my mission to San Antonio, so I'm all for San Antonio. BYU's got a huge following. We have following everywhere, but Texas, they get a big crowd. It's a wonderful city. It's a great time of year.
Indoors.
Alamo. Guaranteed to have decent weather.
Yep.
But I do like, I'd like to think, I want to take Deion at his word because he's lived up to his word this whole season on stuff. And so when he says they're playing, I think that's a matchup that gets BYU's attention.
Yeah.
So they don't go on vacation. They go down there to not get embarrassed, to play hard enough to win. And so I love that one. And if you're ABC, you're like Deion Sanders. And if BYU, if you want eyeballs, primetime Saturday night against Colorado is where the eyeballs will be. BYU's fan base and their fan base. And then you have a huge, maybe probably the biggest, most watched bowl that's not a playoff game would be the Alamo Bowl with BYU and Colorado.
It'd be pretty good.
On a Saturday night.
And this will be the second best bowl game BYU's ever played in. The matchup, the situation, you're talking Cotton Bowl is the best ever. What about the national championship? There were a handful of bowls at 6-5 Michigan. I know that was awesome in its context, but just like that situation, that bowl game, that opponent, this is pretty good.
And the richest. The richest.
You share among the Big 12, so it's all good.
Yeah, but you're playing in a game. The Cotton Bowl paid $2 million. They still had to share that. You're going to, if you go to the Alamo, it's 8.25.
$12 million nowadays. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. With inflation.
8.25, that's a chunk of change for everybody. Yeah. And it's a bigger chunk for the Cougs.
Have this great season, win 10 games. Your reward, a Big 12 opponent that you didn't play already. So I guess there's that. A lot of people in my mentions about, like, what is that? Our question of the day is this. BYU's latest bowl projections have BYU playing Colorado in the Alamo Bowl or Clemson, Miami in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Which bowl game projection do you like the most? At KDG30 on X. Colorado in the Alamo Bowl. Alamo Bowl is the best bowl outside the playoffs. Sounds like Colorado and BYU would be playing all their seniors too. I highly doubt Cam Ward would even play for Miami as he's getting ready for the draft. Great point.
That's possible.
In that situation, that makes me just want Clemson now in this situation. We put out a poll as well. Miami in the Pop-Tarts Bowl is leading at 52%, followed by Clemson in the Pop-Tarts at 32%, Colorado at 15%. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Okay, men's hoops has played 8 games this season so far, Dave. What have you learned about the men's basketball team so far?
They're big, they're long, they're talented, they're new. It's not just new young guys, it's a whole new roster, it's a whole new coaching staff. There's never been more newness at one time than this group. And we know they're talented. But I thought this last road swing was real interesting. Tadas won. This isn't going to be a cakewalk. Not for anybody. Not for the head coach, and not for Yegor Demon, not for Dallin Hall. This is going to be a dogfight throughout. The three things I thought we learned in this last swing about these guys is, one, the importance of executing a final play of the game to win, which they hadn't done before, and they didn't execute it very well, went into overtime. Here's the play.
With Ole Miss.
Kind of lost the handle of the ball. Trevin Nell is over there wide open. Just didn't work out. They lose in overtime. Then they come back the next day and learn that sharing the ball is the key and balanced scoring. 7 guys with 7 points or more, and they beat NC State out of the ACC. And then they go with their first experience on the road and get handled by Providence, a team that was hot, a venue that was loud. They were attacking everything. They were attacking your core beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to this for a lot of these guys, including the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so then all of a sudden these next 3 games become the most important games of the season. Really, Fresno State, Wyoming, and Florida A&M, because these are the 3 games to put back into the process what you just learned from those 3 games before the Arizona State Big 12 opener on New Year's Eve. So that's kind of what we got. They're in a spot now where, like, okay, what are we going to be? Because we just got a taste of everything, and then we got 3 games to become it. 3 weeks, there's plenty of time to be ready for Arizona State.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting, and they're going to be a different team than the one we're seeing now and at the end of February. I'm curious to see. I wish we could kind of fast forward and just get a sneak peek, what the rotation's going to be, what these young freshmen are doing on the road in more hostile environments than Providence. But, hey, optimism's still sky high.
That was a good test for BYU, and certainly BYU did not shoot the ball well. And it was wild because if you had said, hey, 5 turnovers, 21 offensive rebounds, does BYU win the game? I'd be like, absolutely. No, they just didn't shoot the ball well. Providence gave them some troubles. Providence shot the lights out 60%. Yeah. So that was tough, right? I think we've learned that this team's very talented, still figuring out schemes, lineups, each other, situations. All good. I'm encouraged by what I've seen, 6-2 through 8. Obviously would have liked to have won 2 of 3 in the last 3 of this kind of test from the 2 in San Diego and Providence, but excited about the potential of winning the next 3 and walking into conference with a 9-2 record, Arizona State coming in New Year's Eve. Then you're at Houston. I mean, you're into it once you're going
back yelling at you.
Yes, but we've seen and gotten the taste of some of this. Dallin Hall being out of the lineup for 4 games certainly it would have helped to have him to figure some of this stuff out. Yeah. So I think they're still figuring a lot out together. I'm encouraged by what I've seen. Obviously, there were some discouraging moments against Providence, but I like what I've seen, and I'm excited about what this team can do because the talent level's high. It's how quickly can this come together to get enough Big 12 wins to have a good seed in the NCAA tournament.
Fresno State held their own against San Diego State in Fresno last night. It's going to be an intriguing matchup next week, Wednesday, I think it is. And I'm curious to see how BYU responds after a week of practice following.
It's a long time to be like bothered about that win and get in the gym and work together. So I wish BYU had a game this weekend where they could flush that out of the system.
Right. Have to wait till Wednesday.
Yep.
Expectations now for women's volleyball, NCAA tournament this afternoon against Loyola Chicago in the first round. What do you think?
This is a BYU team that is familiar with going to the NCAA tournament and winning in the NCAA tournament. More on that later. They've got a nice streak there. They should win this game, and then they should compete well with probably Purdue. This is a program that has gone to the Sweet 16 in five of the last 9 years. They've tasted of the Sweet 16 goodness, and it's been a couple years, but I expect them to win today. I think it'll be a battle with Loyola Chicago. But BYU is a young team. Remember, they start three or four freshmen, two sophomores in the lineup, so the future is very bright for the Cougars. Win today, a bonus win would be awesome coming up Saturday against Purdue, probably.
1-3 straight, you win at 11th-ranked Kansas, you can win today, and why can't you beat Purdue if you can win at Kansas? Because Kansas has been pretty good this year.
Yep.
We'll see what happens this afternoon. BYU basketball with Kevin Young debuts tonight. The coach and a player will join Greg Wrubell in the live studio audience. That's at 8:30 Eastern time on the free BYU TV app and ESPN Plus. So you know what he's settling into now? His first TV stuff.
Yeah, let's go tonight. It's going to be fun. On deck, the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, discusses BYU's football ranking, bowl preference, and men's hoops through 8 games. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
BYU, I think, has had a season I think should be seen as one of the best performances that we've ever seen out of BYU.
Indeed it was, despite kind of the finish here. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan, Dave McCann with you. The voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, is in the house. Greg, you've been busy. You've been all over the country. How you feeling, man? San Diego to Rhode Island.
November, December is always a fun time for a sportscaster. Yeah.
So do you want to go to Orlando or do you want to go to San Antonio?
I've never been to San Antonio before, so I like that for that reason. Orlando's never bad, so yeah, either one's great.
And if you go a second time to Orlando, maybe you'll see a rocket again. Who knows?
That was pretty cool.
That was cool. Yeah. BYU scores a touchdown, suddenly a rocket goes off.
It was a rocket.
That was crazy.
That was nice.
Okay, let's talk about kind of where BYU is at in the college football playoff rankings in this situation. I know you, like most of us, feel passionately about, like, why isn't BYU several spots higher?
It's not even just BYU. It's the Big 12. I mean, I forget, BYU had its chance. BYU should be somewhere different, and they're not because they lost a game to Kansas. You can't afford to lose. So relative to BYU, they could have put themselves as a seed. They could have put themselves in the bracket. They didn't. It's not about BYU so much. It's the Big 12. Since when did a power conference suddenly lose its power conference cachet? I don't understand that. I just don't understand how a team that played a Mountain West slate is seen that many spots higher than a team that played a power conference slate. If anybody should know the difference between playing a Mountain West or an independent slate versus, as opposed to playing a power conference slate, it's BYU. BYU's got a pretty good perspective on the difference. There's a difference. If you stick Boise State in the Big 12, do they have the same record they do today?
No.
Unlikely. Very unlikely. It matters who you play week in, week out. And so I just don't understand why the committee just suddenly said, well, this power conference team or this power conference doesn't carry the same weight as the other power conferences. I understand SEC, Big 12 are kind of on their own plane, but you can't just suddenly say it equates to a Mountain West.
Wasn't it kind of a slow death, though, because you have Boise State here, you have BYU here, and they start losing, and Boise State just keeps winning. And the natural thing in a poll is you just keep improving as you keep winning. And Arizona State, they weren't even in it yet. And so they've had to make up all this ground. All of a sudden, they're at 10, and Arizona State's come steamrolling in, but they're at 15 because they were nowhere a few weeks ago. And I'm not defending the committee, but just by the nature of how these polls work, I can see why Boise State's at 10, and the last man standing in the Big 12 is 15, because 3 weeks ago they weren't even in the top 25.
But at some point, somebody in the room has to point to data and metrics and resumes and say, let's really look at what we're doing here. And that never happened. And you simply can't judge, you know, Boise State's one loss as the best thing about their resume.
Right.
But that's what's happened. They continue to say they lost to the number one team. Yeah, they did in the first couple weeks of the season when no one knows who anyone is yet. A same Oregon team that struggled to beat Idaho the week before. So you can't have the best talking point for a team be a loss. It shouldn't work that way.
No.
And it has in this instance. There are some who say that once the Big 12 championship game is played, there will be some correction. But could it be five spots of correction or six spots of
Too
correction?
Too much, right?
You know, if Boise takes care of its business against UNLV, it's unlikely. So, yeah, you're going to see a Mountain West Conference champion likely take a spot that should be allotted for a Power Conference champion, because there's a difference between a Power Conference and a non-Power Conference slate that the committee has refused to acknowledge.
Isn't it interesting, too, with SMU's plight? And I read an article this morning where they, if they said, hey, we're not going to play in this ACC championship game, they'll go to the playoff. If they play in the ACC game and they lose to Clemson, they might be out of the playoff.
I've heard that too. I wonder if there's some bylaw that prevents that.
I don't know.
And that'd be weird.
It would certainly be unprecedented, but we're in unprecedented times.
Same committee
but
that
the
said,
system is set up.
Right,
to
but
do
the committee
that.
Also said before, well before the rankings came out, we don't want to penalize teams or punish teams for losing conference championship games. They turn around immediately and say, yeah, well, we could drop SMU if they lose. Yeah, absolutely.
The
conflicting signals from this group has been nonstop. And yet, the biggest, I think, thing to remedy is how you equate a G6, G5 slate with a Power Conference slate. They're not the same, and they're treating them the same.
It'll be interesting to see if they do expand, because I feel like it's inevitable to 14 or 16. I think the same issues will come up. It'll just be further down the line. I don't know that anything is sort of corrected. We just in this situation would now be like, well, BYU should be in the top 16 or 15 so that they're in at this point. But we'll see what happens. There's too much money not to, probably, so we'll see. But we know this. I don't agree with the conference champ top four thing. I think they should just be the top four teams should be the top four seeds. Like, it's kind of fun. You win your league, you get rewarded, but I don't know. I think the top four teams should be the top four seeds.
And that really has spawned the biggest debate, because that four seed, that last bye, goes to one of two conference champions. And in this case, you're talking about the Mountain West Conference champ versus the Big 12 Conference champ. And if they went the other way, yeah, it would look there wouldn't
Less
be the same debate.
Argument, yeah. Okay, let's talk about bowl game preference. You mentioned location. We learned this morning the Alamo has trimmed it down already to BYU-Arizona State versus Colorado, or sorry, BYU-Iowa State or Colorado-Arizona State. Do you have a preference of Alamo and that matchup potentially with Colorado, it seems, or Pop-Tarts versus ACC?
Not really. At this point, if you're not in the playoff, they're just games. Once you get there, it's the cliche question, which team wants to be there more? For any team, it's going to be a consolation. Colorado knows they were that close to being in the Big 12 title game. BYU knows it was that close to being in the Big 12 title game with a playoff. These are consolations. Anything outside the playoff is that, as it always has been, it's a consolation. It's fine. It's great. It's another chance for a win, but it's just a game. It'll be a game against a team you probably haven't seen, which is good. Even though they're the same league, it didn't play Colorado, didn't play Iowa State. And of course, ACC would be a totally new team. So it's good. It's fine.
And also consolation teams. If it's Clemson, oh, yeah, Miami, it's also consolation.
Everyone views it the same way. Everyone has to view it the same way. And then when you factor in the opt-outs and everything else, it always comes down to motivation in bowl games. And it always has been that way. Outside the big games, who's more motivated to go play and win a game?
Does BYU see this a little bit different, though, since even Colorado, I mean, they both so overachieved from expectation.
Well, from external expectations. If you talk to BYU, they thought this season was possible. Going back to the summer, they'll say, oh, we knew we could have this kind of year, double-digit win season. So there they are. So 10 wins is great when you're 0-0 and the media says you're going to be 13th. When you're 9-0, 10-2 isn't as good, because you could have been and should have been somewhere different. It's great. It's a great win. It's a great season. 10 wins is outstanding. 11 wins would be great. But they thought they were capable of this kind of year. But 9-0 is one thing. When you get to 10-2, it feels a little different than, you know, at the start of the year when everything was in front of you. So, yeah, excellent with an asterisk. Asterisk being you were that close. And it was really that Kansas game. You know, that was the game. You could lose Arizona State. At Arizona State, win your home games, you're in. It didn't happen.
And we'd be That's talking rough. About a game in 2 days from now instead.
They had the inside track, the strong inside track.
Oh yeah,
strong inside track. And it came down to, we all know what happened in that Kansas game. Things you might never see if you run 10 seasons of football. We saw in that game.
Yeah, just craziness. Okay, men's hoops. Obviously, a disappointing loss at Providence. What did you notice in that game that maybe was an outlier versus something that BYU needs to correct?
Yeah, it was a perfect storm game. I mean, you could almost tell in the first 5 minutes things were not right. BYU missed its first four layups. They finished 8 for 18 on layups. The bench shot 50%. The starters shot 22%. At one point, the starting backcourt was a combined 0 for 15. Like, when do you see these things? They're the first team in 14 years to lose a regulation game with 21 offensive rebounds.
In that, BYU or NCAA?
No, the entire NCAA. It's been 14 years since a team lost a regulation game with 21 offensive rebounds.
Wow.
The last team to do it was Providence, actually, back in 2010. but yeah, funny. You have 21 offensive rebounds. You shoot 27 more times than the opposition. You turn over only 5 times. Well, you probably won that game. If you didn't win it, you're not losing by 20. They lost by 20. It was a strange, weird, perfect storm game. Providence had their best three-point game of the year by far, wide margin. On the night they get Hopkins back in a home gym, it was just a night. I start with the fact that the very first play they ran was going to get them 2 points and get them off to a solid start, and somehow a layup right at the rim rims off. Then they missed their next 3 layups. Like I said, when you finish under 50% on layups, not a good sign. Not a normal thing. It was just a weird night in a lot of ways. Tough to replicate that kind of game. Providence did all the right things. Every shot was going on such a low shot volume for them, too. They were 1.41 points per possession. Like, just a hugely high number. So BYU was inefficient. Providence was hyper-efficient, and it happens.
It was interesting to watch Kevin Young on the sideline because he was obviously frustrated. Frustrated the officials, frustrating and all that stuff. And we hadn't seen that yet because he's so new. And new to this collegiate game. Where do you think he and his staff, did they take more from this loss in how they're going to do it moving forward as opposed to the players themselves?
I don't know how to answer that one. I know that Kevin on that night, I mean, Hopkins got a really liberal, generous whistle. I mean, Hopkins' first night back, he was given a lot of protection, I thought, out there. And it was a rough whistle. I thought Hopkins got a great whistle, and it really frustrated, I think, Kevin Young and the staff. They've got 3 games in 4 weeks. And so they can really, I think the thing they wanted to fine tune the most coming out of it was defensively. Again, I think some of the offensive things were just weird, bad bounces. You're not going to have those kind of nights. Defensively, though, needed to shore a few things up. And that's, I think, what they'll probably work on most. And it is a unique span of games or span of weeks where you play only 3 times in 4 weeks. It is the antithesis of an NBA grind that Kevin Young was used to with his guys. And so, I think fine tuning, but especially on the defensive end.
Was Yegar Demmons' knee okay? Because he came out with a sleeve in the second half.
I didn't notice that it affected him or not. But and he, too, is seeing how much attention and caliber of competition is going to impact his freedom out there and his ability to do what he wants to do. And a great learning experience for Yegar in a really high-pressure environment. I say that because basically every NBA team had somebody there. It was a big two. There were a lot of games in the Northeast, the UConn game the next night with Baylor. There were a lot of scouts that could cross off a lot of boxes in those 2 nights. And there were a lot there to see him, and it was not obviously his best night.
Now, 0-10, I'm real curious to see how he bounces back because he's 18. And 0-10 in a hostile environment, he's been in plenty overseas, but this was his
it's
first
a different
Division
deal. One. No, yeah, I think what he dealt with overseas is not what he's dealing with now.
Fewer flares and quarters.
It seemed to happen pretty quickly for him. Yeah. And now we're kind of seeing it's going to be a bit of a longer process.
Excited to watch Fresno State and BYU coming up next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, yes.
We got a few days. Enjoy the championship weekend. We wish BYU was in it, but Greg, we appreciate the time, man.
You bet, thanks.
Thanks for coming on.
There is basketball tonight in Old El Paso. Jason Shepherd's down there with the women's basketball team. It's BYU and UTEP, 2 old WAC foes, 9:00 Eastern time. That's the home of L.J. Martin, El Paso,
yes, it is.
Texas.
Yes, it is.
We'll see Shep and the Cougs tonight on BYU Radio.
It's a game day for which Cougar teams and which former Cougars in the NFL. We'll tell you in headlines after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jerem. He's Dave. Let's get to today's headlines.
Early signing day yesterday for football. Cougars announced 18 additions for the 2025 class with some room to add. Highlighting this year's class, 4-star offensive lineman Austin Pay. He's the brother of current BYU offensive lineman Connor and Trevor Pay. We'll see him after his mission. And 4-star wide receiver LaMason Waller III. 2025 class pacing to be BYU's highest rated recruiting class by composite score in program history. And again, they still have some names to add to the list.
Exciting day yesterday. That was fun. The Alamo Bowl announces the matchup is down to Iowa State or BYU versus Arizona State or Colorado. So a Big 12 Alamo Bowl. No word on rematch possibilities. The announcement will be around 3:30 Eastern coming up Sunday. Alamo Bowl has the first pick after the college football playoff field is selected for the Big 12 versus Pac-12 or former Pac-12 teams. Same for next year, by the way. Game is Saturday night, December 28th on ABC.
Fifth seed BYU women's volleyball in the big dance today. They play Loyola Chicago first round of the NCAA tournament. They're at Purdue, 3:30 Eastern time, and you can watch it on ESPN+. BYU has won 14 straight first round NCAA tournament
games. Amazing.
Dating back to 2006. What we wish for men's basketball, 14 straight first round wins. If the Cougars get it done today, and we expect them to, they'll play the winner of four seed Purdue and Western Michigan tomorrow. They're on the Boilermakers home floor.
Women's basketball on the road at UTEP tonight. First meeting between the two schools since 1999 when both teams were in the WAC. No word on if UTEP's going to tap into BYU's headsets. Coverage begins at 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
Jason Shepherd was in Cancun. Now he's in El Paso. He's been eating Mexican food for two straight weeks.
Yes, he has. That's good stuff.
Chris Brooks, Zane Anderson, and the Packers on the road against the Lions Thursday night football. What a great Thursday night game.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks has rushed for 92 yards on 20 carries for the Packers this season. If you noticed, last game out, he had 28 yards, getting some significant carries in important time. I thought it was great. Anderson has eight tackles for the Packers this season. We'll look for them to do well tonight.
I can't wait to watch that game. That's a great Thursday night game. Not every one of them have been like that.
No. This will be good. We wish those two Cougs the best of luck. If you're in need of a football fix, after further review, waiting for you on the BYU TV app, Blaine Fowler, David Nixon, and I worked out all the big moments from the Houston game. Look ahead to the bowl season, the season finale of AFR on the BYU TV app. It's kind of depressing.
It's going away.
Season
what?
Finale. We'll be back in July.
They're all on demand. You can go back and watch them if you want. Still ahead, women's volleyball gets ready for the NCAA tournament today. My conversation with all Big 12 middle blocker Brielle Kemavor is on the way as BYU Sports Nation continues. Having an outstanding sophomore season for BYU. When she gets a clean look, hard to stop. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B on this game day for the NCAA tournament. Women's volleyball in the first round at Purdue taking on Loyola Chicago. Sophomore middle blocker Brielle Kemavor has been a beast on the court for the Cougars this year, earning first team all Big 12 honors. Earlier this week, I spoke to BK about the season, this young team, and playing in the dance. All right, Brielle, NCAA tournament time. What are the emotions like as you guys have earned an opportunity to play in the place you want to be, the NCAA tournament?
Yes, our team is so stoked. We are so blessed that we get to be at a program and get to be with teammates and coaches that want the same goals and want the same, we have the same work ethic and have the same drive to do, want to do well. So we are so excited for the tournament.
What was that moment like to see your name? Because you expected your name, you just didn't know where.
Yeah, we didn't know where we were going to place, and that wasn't even a big focus that we wanted or that we were focusing on. It was just we wanted to get in, and we want to do the best we can moving forward. But we were so excited seeing our name, so excited seeing who we're playing.
When you saw five seed, did you wonder how close you were to four seed and hosting?
Sometimes that crosses your mind, but it is what it is, and we're going to make the best of it, and we know how to play on the road, so we're just going to go and do our best on the road, and we're okay with whatever comes our way.
This team has one of the best strength of schedules in the country. How has that prepared you for a tournament like this?
Yeah, we're super lucky to have – we had a tough schedule starting out, and Heather keeps saying, well, we've seen everything. There's nothing that we haven't seen now. So I honestly think that's the biggest blessing for having a difficult schedule early on, because we've seen everything. So now nothing, there's not a surprise that can come to us.
Loyola Chicago in the first round. This is a team that BYU hasn't really played in women's volleyball. Men's volleyball, they played a little bit, but what are you expecting from the Ramblers in round one?
We know that they're a good team. They made the tournament, and we're expecting them to play their hardest. And I mean, we all are. It's round one. No one wants to lose, but we're just gonna go in and do the best that we can and work together as a team.
When you think about what this team's been through, playing, you know, you and Claire as sophomores who didn't play as much last year, and then you're starting three or four freshmen, how much have you guys grown from the beginning of the year to now?
I would say that we've grown such a huge amount. honestly, just maturity wise, and just gelling wise, like meshing as a team, because we do have a bunch of freshmen on the court. Everyone says, oh, we're a young team. And I don't like that, because our ages might be young, but the maturity and the experience that we have with each other, that's the most important thing. It's not the actual age. So from the beginning of the year till now, just spending the amount of time that we've spent with each other, and like we've already said that we've seen everything. We've been in every single kind of situation, five setters, four setters, three setters, everything, that we now know how to handle all of these situations. So at the beginning of the year, when we were first hit with those challenges the first time, maybe we didn't know exactly how to approach it, but now there's nothing that can shake us. So we've definitely developed maturity overall.
Normally, if I said, hey, you're 2-7 in five sets and you played two sophomores and three or four freshmen, that's not a tourney team formula. So how have you guys overcome sort of what you were talking about? You're still a team that's a top 30 team in the country, top 25 perhaps. You just beat Kansas. Mm-hmm. You're in the NCAA tournament. How have you overcome those things that normally on paper wouldn't mean an NCAA tournament team, but you guys are?
That's so true. Just putting the amount of hours in and the amount of time that we've spent with each other and all of the resources that we have, whether it be just our coaches or like mental strength, mental performance coaches, our athletic trainers, our strength coaches, everyone like that, they are able to provide so much comfort and so much like they have everything that we need. So just being able to rely on them when we need help makes us better people, just because we have the support and we have what we need. And that definitely helps push forward. Like I was saying, the maturity, push forward the kind of meshing that we have as a team because of all of our outside sources that are definitely helpful.
You got your best win of the season last week at Kansas. Mm-hmm. It's senior night and you guys just absolutely ruin it. You go in there and you win. Yeah. What was it like to sort of get on what you guys hope is a ramp of, we're peaking at the right time? We can beat Kansas. That means we can do some damage in this tournament.
Oh, yeah. We were so stoked going into Kansas. We were like, hey, it's our second to last game on the road in normal conference. And we're just going to go in and give it our all. Like, Kansas is ranked well, but we're also ranked well. We're a good team. They're a good team. And it's not like one team is better than the other. We both are good and we both can do really good things. So we were just going in with the mentality of, this is what the tournament is going to be like. This is a tournament team. And we just wanted to go in and leave everything out on the court. We were talking beforehand and we were like, okay, we're going to go in. We're going to have no regrets. We're just going to do what we need to do and have no regrets afterward.
You're from very far away, Virginia, I believe, right? Yeah. And your mom talked to me after a match this year and said that she moved to Utah. She's out here now.
Yeah, she's in Midvale.
What role has she played in sort of being around and being near you through this collegiate experience?
I actually love it. I love that my mom's close. Originally, when I was making my decision and my mom was like, okay, how do you feel like you'll be moving across the country? Like, we have family in Utah, a lot of family in Utah, but she was like, how do you feel? Like, I was like, oh, I don't care, like, it'll be fine, I'll move across, whatever. And she ended up, her reason for moving is she wasn't ready to give up live volleyball yet, so she moved back home, actually, because she's from Orem, so she's moving back home, so she already knows Utah. And I'm actually super grateful that she is in close proximity. So she's in Midvale, so she's about 40 minutes away from me. So she's not like, I don't see her every day, but she does get to come to all of the games. And she has been a really big support in everything that I've done this season. Just if I just need advice that only a mom can give, or just need comfort or need anything, she has been super, super reliable. And just a mom, like, anything you need, she is there for you. So she has been super, such a big support for me this year.
Hey,
They did not doubt their mothers knew it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Alana, is that her name?
Alana, yep.
Alana, yeah, awesome. Mm-hmm. Shout out, Alana. Well, best of luck against Loyola Chicago and West Lafayette, thank Indiana. You. And take down the Ramblers, then take down probably Purdue. Let's go. Thanks for
the
time.
Let's do it. Go Cougs. Thank you.
Brielle Kempenbohr, super bright future for BYU. She's an imposing presence in the middle at 6'5".
So she's sixth in the country in blocks and number one in the Big 12. So what does she got to do to get All-American status before we're done?
BYU probably needs to win a little more. That's it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So next year, for sure.
Next year. Hey, she might be honorable mention All-American this year. Who knows?
This year?
Yeah. But she's awesome. She and Claire Little as the sophomores kind of leading that team, freshman Alex Bauer. It's a young team that's performed really well. Struggled in fifth sets, but hey, all that experience we hope pays off this week and next year and the next couple of years.
There were a lot of nail biters. But maybe the most in program history.
The overtime of volleyball is a fifth set.
Yeah.
And they went there nine times. Crazy.
Should they win today, do they have a shot against Purdue?
Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be an upset for sure. But they played a tough schedule, top five schedule in the country.
Right.
Talking SOS with the playoff committee. This team played a tough schedule.
3:30 today, ESPN Plus, BYU against Loyola Chicago, NCAA tournament for women's volleyball. We wish the Cougs the very, very best.
Okay, after the break, who gets today's rise and shout out and the incredible streak that's online for women's volleyball, as we mentioned. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Our question of the day, BYU's latest bowl projections have BYU versus Colorado in the Alamo Bowl or Clemson, Miami in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Which bowl game projection do you like the most? At ColoBRDM on X. Pop-Tarts Bowl, BYU plays Colorado next season in conference. Now, the matchup, we don't anticipate a rematch, although we haven't been told that a rematch is not happening. Like, what if it was BYU-Arizona State? I think some BYU fans would actually welcome that. We wanted that in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah.
Not in this bowl game. I would prefer it's not a rematch.
Right.
Again, haven't been told that that's not a possibility or is. But, it's Pop-Tarts to avoid a Big 12 opponent.
Yeah, I like Colorado because they're not really a Big 12 opponent. We didn't play them this year, and we haven't played them for a long time. Now we start playing them next year, and then the next year can be, we got to play these guys again. But it's Dion. It's where the eyeballs are.
Yes, and he said that Travis Hunter and Shador and everybody, hey, we're going to have no opt-outs.
You know what? I like
how are you going to have no opt-outs? Have you talked to the guys about that?
Those two guys against Jay Hill's defense. That would be an interesting matchup.
That would be intriguing.
How would we deal with him?
Also, I think, and I'll bring this up the next couple weeks, I think the legacy of a 10-win team versus an 11-win team is different.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to win the game. I like the idea of a win more than I like location and even matchup. But if you get a good opponent and you win, you really cement that season as one of the top 10 seasons in BYU history.
Sure.
You could probably argue it's top five already, given how tough the schedule was and being in a power league.
Yeah, top five, even top two, maybe? Two,
I
three?
Wouldn't put it up there quite yet. If they had made the playoff, I would.
Once you factor in who they played, though, it's like it's hardly an argument. Right? Even Blaine says their national championship, they didn't play a schedule anywhere near what today's guys did.
It's got to me, and this is a fun topic that we're waiting until there's a minute and a half left in to approach, but of what you did in that season matters probably the most, right? At Nick Tenney 4NX versus ACC in the Pop-Tarts Bowl all day.
All day.
Poll results. Okay. Miami and the Pop-Tarts wins our poll as of now. You can continue to vote. Clemson and the Pop-Tarts, 32%. Colorado and the Alamo Bowl, only 14%. I feel like that's one of the most likely scenarios, so we'll see.
I do too.
Our lead voice today, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, Tyson Peterson on X. I think Miami at the Pop-Tarts Bowl could be fun. Last time we played them was on our turf with Ty, that's right, 1990. BYU played in Miami, 88. Could be fun to go to their neck of the woods and show how good we can be. It'd be a second game in Orlando. BYU already played at UCF and won.
Yeah.
We'll see. Today's Rise and Shoutout, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
I just love we're talking about bowl games that are after Christmas, that are big. We just
not
haven't
December
had
18th
forever. We're shouting out to the women's volleyball team.
Yep.
They have won 14 straight first-round games in the NCAA tournament. Going for 15 today?
That's amazing.
Let's do that.
So it's not years. It's like when they've gone to the tournament, they have won the first round.
This is what they do.
That's incredible. Our thanks to today's guests, Greg Rubel, Brielle Kempenbohr, Sardi Dennis Pinna. We ran out of time.
Conversation continues 24/7 as always on X, Instagram, Facebook. All our shows on demand as well at BYUSN.com.
For Dave, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Anson Winder. We got plenty going on here. I know there's no Big 12 title game, but we got ball games. See you tonight for BYU basketball with Kevin Young, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app. Go Cougs!